It's The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. In our ongoing series, Aging While Queer, we've been exploring the lives and labors of members of the LGBTQ plus community living in their later years. This week, we spoke with Pat and Paulette Martin. Now, Paulette Martin knew she was a lesbian from a young age, but she didn't feel safe enough to be her fully authentic self until later in life. She married a man, raised three children, before finally coming out in her 40s. Today, Paulette is happily married to Pat Martin. And while coming out was also a challenge for Pat, most of her family quickly accepted her after she came out as a teenager. I started by talking with Paulette about her childhood.
Growing up, my mother and father had a gay man, a friend, a family friend, and that was acceptable. It was a time where I didn't have a voice. I couldn't truly say that I was attracted to girls. I didn't have the word gay at that time in my vocabulary. I just knew that I liked girls and I liked the comfort and being around the softness, but I wasn't able to share that. So I buried it and I felt that I'll do the norm, which was to get married, have children, build a family. And underneath all of that, I was not happy. I felt like I can do this for a moment in time and that too shall pass. That moment lasted a long time, like 20 years, but it was never one of peace. So it was okay that someone else had a gay family member. I went to an all-girls school. There were gay people in school, but when they got home to the neighborhood, they became straight.
That kind of duality, that that multiplicity and sort of being able, like, I can perform this, but who I truly am is someone else. Pat, to what extent does that resonate with your own story?
Well, you know, most of my family, I knew that I was gay. The only one who I think she knew, but she was just in total denial, was my mother. My family also had gay friends. The person that did my hair growing up was a gay man, and he was totally accepted in our house at any time when they would do the weekend fish fries. He was there, but my mother just always said, if one of my children grow up to be in the, and the word at that time was bulldigger, if one of my children grow up to be a bulldigger, I'll kill them. And as she said it, she always looked at me. So that tells me that she knew, and she was just trying to give me a warning that I better not come out.
Pat, what do you make of that? That kind of strange dichotomy between being willing to love and know and welcome into the family fish fry someone who is gay, but also that intensity of opposition to your own child being gay.
I think it's that stigma, that thing where if my child is gay, I did something wrong. It's a reflection on me. So if the world see that one of mine is gay, then I didn't do my job by bringing a girl into the world.
It is true. We can pretty easily over-identify with our kids in ways that make their lives just about us. And yet, Pat and Paulette, the two of you found each other. Can you tell me your love story?
Well, I have always been an event planner. So I had brought together a team and we were preparing to do a women's dance. And Sage Center Harlem was giving us space to meet. And this was like, I think the night before the dance. So we were packing up our swag bag and Paulette had volunteered to help fill the swag bags. And during my meeting, my team were getting a little nervous and they were saying some stuff that was rather upsetting. And Paulette chimed in and she said, "Can I say something? Go ahead, babe, you do it."
So from that point, what I noticed was that Pat had a plan. I could see her vision. And they didn't. So I asked if I could interject and told them that since Pat knew what she was saying, and I didn't know her background, I didn't know her, first time meeting her, that they should be in submission to her. So Pat, eyebrow raised, like, oh, okay. And then we, you know, she had the dance the next day, the next night. And everything was fine. I had her number. I had also prepared some food for the event. And so when the dance was over, I actually deleted her phone number because I felt like I needed to clean my phone out and we were done with our business. So she attended one of my church's event to support one of the ministers there who was doing the sermon that day. And we sat together. And I remember that every time her leg touched mine, it was like, oh my goodness, I'm in church. Stop it. So it was so exciting. So when we left church, I had informed her, no, I didn't have her number. She had said, well, call me. And I said, well, I deleted it. So she gave me her business card and she said, don't delete it. So that next weekend, I was dressed, looking good, wanted someone on my arm to go out to Henrietta Hudson. So I called her. And asked her out. She said yes. And then she proceeded to call me back with a message saying that she couldn't go. That was her way of getting me back for losing her number. And I called her back and said, when a lady asks you out, you do not refuse them. So we went to Henrietta Hudson. She met me there. We went there. And Pat, take it away.
Yeah, she wore me down, Melissa. You know, she kept calling, saying, but it's not raining. And I'm looking out the window and I know it's not raining. And I'm saying, but yes, it is. But she wouldn't give up. So I said, you know what? This lady is not going to let me sleep. So let me go and get this over with. And we've been together ever since.
Tell me about Milk.
you're touching my heart now, right? Milk is Masculine and Identified Lesbians of Color Collective. It's an organization that supports other masculine identified lesbians of color. We found that there's so much available to our white counterparts, and we needed to do something that we could identify with. So I got together with some of my buddies and we created Milk. And we do workshops, we do symposiums, we do our sip and chat. It's a safe space for lesbians of color who identify as masculine identified and masculine of center lesbians, where we can come together and just talk. We can support each other and because of our like-mindedness. And we're a great group right now. We have a membership of 238. Our membership is throughout the United States and in Africa, Canada, and I think we have a young lady from London who are members.
Earlier, Paulette, you were talking about being a person of faith and a couple of faith. You sound like every South Carolina-born Black lady I know, especially who is in her 60s and 70s. But I also sometimes see this church that we love not embrace our LGBTQ plus family members and beloveds and elders. There is no question you love God. Have you ever wondered whether or not God did not love you?
I will say, that's a powerful question. Yes, I was brought up Catholic, Roman Catholic, with the nuns hitting you and telling you you're bad. And I used to always wonder, what did I do to be punished? I didn't get it. I didn't understand the doctrine. I just knew that I wasn't of any worth. So at least that's what I was being told. So up until the point where I had the understanding that I can talk to God, because I stepped away from any religion. And when I occasionally would go to church because I had children, I would look at the person on the pulpit and go, if they can talk to God, I can talk to God. But I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel like God can hear me. But then I just started talking. And then I realized one day I was just sitting there and crying that God hears me. He hears me. He hears my words. He's responded to me. And he told me, she told me that I am a child of excellence. I am a his, her child. And I exist in this world with a purpose and a passion. And sometimes, yeah, I forget my faith. When I have cancer, I forget my faith. That's why I had asked God. I used to have a list of 75 things I wanted in a mate. Well, that was like a little ridiculous, okay? So when I narrowed it down actually to one, well, two things, and one of the first thing was to have a godly woman. So when I realized that's what God has given me, exactly what I asked for, I embraced it. And then I was blessed to find Unity Fellowship of Christ Church, which is an LGBTQ church headed by Bishop Zachary Jones, where total acceptance of whomever, however you choose to live. And that just once again fortified my belief that there is a place for each and every one of us. The churches shame us. They make us feel less than, because I could not understand, if I am created and I'm created in God's image, how does that make it wrong? And no one can ever answer me. How am I not a child of God? You're here, I'm here. We look different. We believe different. But the bottom line is, I am God's child. And that has my life has just so solidified that we are here with a purpose and a passion that was gifted to us. So I hope that answered your question.
The purpose and the passion of Pat and of Paulette Martin, the love that you clearly have for each other, that you've shown to your community, that you have engaged through Milk Organizing, and in the ministry that you just gave us, Paulette, thank you so much for living your best lives and for sharing them with us.
Oh, our pleasure. Absolutely.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.